today for all these people to carry. So, you need to come to the state.
You in front of Rock City? By yourself? Where's the old man?
Good evening. It's time to get started this evening. If you would turn your books to 809. 809. We'll sing all three verses of this song. After that, ask Brother Calvin to direct our minds in prayer. When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the sorry land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burden to bear, with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Let's bow together. Father, thank you for allowing us in your home tonight. Thank you for us being able to come together to praise your name, to sing songs, to honor you, and to study your word tonight together. Help us, Father, to be like-minded. Let us have the mind of Christ. Father, be with us as tonight as we study together. May we might understand the words and might have a deeper understanding and meaning toward them. Father, be with us as we strive to do your will. We pray, Father, for the things that we're trying to do here, that we might save souls and might bring souls to your body. Help us, Father, defeat us in those things that are wrong. Father, be with us tonight. We pray, Father, for those who are sick of our number. We pray that you bring them back to us, if it be your will. Father, be with those who, this weekend, as we celebrate the nation's birthday, be with those people that they might have time together with their families, but safely. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
791. We're singing all three verses of this song also. What a song of delight in a city so bright. We'll be wrapped in neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come.
The glory of heaven's light.
'Tis the foretaste of rapture to come, but our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come, there'll be no will be light and his face will be bright
when all the singers get home.
When all God's singers get home,
wherever a sorrow will come,
there'll be no place like home when all singers get home. The invitation song will be 886. 886. Brother Mark will come back, I reckon.
We don't, I'll pull out another.
We'll get it.
Not in
open. That's
certainly, Bible saying that. I'll give you some description context for it in a few moments. After take prayer request. Any update on Brenda today?
I just talked to her. She said she's still on her medicine.
Okay, so Brenda's still taking her medicine, can't do without it, just walking on the cane. Pat Brown Sunday said she was still on the medicine as well. She's got problems with her back too. So continue your prayer for Pat Brown and Brenda. Anyone else? Yes, Ronnie.
Mark, Chris Hebbins' mom, I don't know about the comment, though, they see Chris, make things left, and put his mom in the hospital or something. I don't know what they do.
Okay. Okay, yeah, his mom's Gail. What? Well, I don't know.
Oh,
I think she spells it G-A-I-L.
Yeah,
G-A-I-L. Gail Whited.
I think it's an old something. Oh, she'll call you now?
So, Gail Colson now, is that correct?
I think so.
Okay.
She just got
her real bad call. She said she sounds, she just called me. Okay. She was here Sunday, but she didn't come. She had an aggravation Monday. Gail, the therapist, and she did all things. Emma said she talked to her Monday. She was just really nice. So we need to continue prayer for Phyllis Cherry. She's not. She's got respiratory things going on. She's almost still trying to help Gail in her recovery. So continue your prayer for her.
And Gail is doing better. She's trying to She's doing
good. So Gail's making progress. That's great. Mm-hmm. Family Ricky Ledbetter. Family card is a sympathy card to the family of Ricky Ledbetter.
Yeah, he did. I think he's been
daughter Jada Lynn. Oh, that is a fun one. Just kids. Hey. She had come here.
Anyone else? Yes, Lisa.
There's a family in Sparta. They rented their home, which burned to the ground. Charlie Spates, his grandson, wife, and grandchildren. His grandson, Andrew, was badly burned in the house trying to get the three children out. The children are 3, 2, and 6 months old. The 3-year-old and the 2-year-old were at burned but were released. And the 6-month-old is in the Vanderbilt burn unit. And so she's already had one round of skin grafts, and they're waiting for that to heal up enough that they can do another one. And the dad, which is the grandson of Charlie, they've got him sedated and stuff. So those people rented their home, so I don't know what kind of.
So what is the last name again?
Spakes, S-P-A-K-E-S. And Andrew Wilson is the father of the grandson. They came and asked for prayers.
So it's Charlie Spakes and family. If you can get some contact information to one of the deacons and stuff, we send relief to people who lost homes to fire and stuff. So. Yeah. Yes, Steve. So, Anna Walker can't seem to shake what's going around, and so continue in prayer for her. I think we sent her a card Sunday. Yeah, Steve.
Mom's on coke.
Okay. Sister Jeanette Mosley, sorry. Yeah, is home with COVID and stuff, so, yeah.
Judy, she's got fractured kneecap. Just prayers.
Jeanette Farrell has COVID, and Judy Miller has a fractured kneecap. Any? Yes. So Cole's also under the weather. Jenny?
Can we get prayers and cards from the family of Cindy Gardner?
Sympathy card?
Yes,
sympathy card of the family of Sydney Gardner. Sydney Gardner. This time we have together, Lord. And Father, just so much tonight that seemed to be on our hearts and minds, may Father, maybe even unspoken requests, may Father. Lord, we pray that you be with Gail. Constantly, may Father, Lord, pray her health improves quickly. Be with Phyllis Cherry, may Father, Lord, we know she's trying so hard, Lord, to help Gail. May Father, be with her, bless her. We pray strength for her recovery, may Father. Lord, we're so encouraged by Gail's improvement. We pray each day she gets stronger, Lord, and more independent. Especially with Pat and Brenda, we pray their back issues resolve quickly. Heavenly Father, bless them, Father, with pain-free days, dear Lord, and return of mobility. Lord, be with the family of Rick Ledbetter, Heavenly Father, and Cindy Gardner, and their loss. We pray that your servants, Heavenly Father, have been able to service them and support them in a very special way. Be with Anna, we pray that her health improve quickly. Lord, she'll be back with us. Be with Jeanette. We pray her COVID, course of COVID, will resolve quickly. Lord, be with Judy. We pray, Heavenly Father, pain-free days for her, Lord, and quick recovery. Lord, we pray that you be with Cole, that he gets strength and health back quickly, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you be with Spakes family. Lord, we know their needs are great. Heavenly Father, we pray that you send ministering service to them. Heavenly Father, be with those little ones. Heavenly Father, those providing care to Lord, we know that it's such a tragic thing. Heavenly Father, when kids get burned and hurt this way, Heavenly Father, your pain would be with them. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that for advances in medicine, Heavenly Father, that you've given man wisdom that he can do amazing things. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you be with them and a great work be done to your glory. Heavenly Father, be with us as we enter this study tonight. We pray, Father, that we'll begin to see the connections you have through your word in many different ways. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, just to be with us and keep us in your care through your Son, Jesus. Now we pray. Amen. Lifetime fascination with plants, with herbal medicines, with healings. It probably runs somewhat in my DNA and my genes. My grandmother's family were known as faith healers. My mother's grandmother, Mammy Brown, everyone called her. She was a community midwife and healer. I grew up with hearing if you had an ailment, here's what you need to do for it, and that was just the way of it. It was interesting as a child to be at my grandparents' house, and sometimes people would bring a baby with thrush. You don't hear about thrush much anymore, and want Miss Minnie to heal it, and so Granny would take down the information and take the baby home, and a few days later, people wanting to come back. Well, what do we own Miss Minnie? You know, the baby's cured and stuff. And so I think Bob has a story of his last name was Brown, and he cured Bob of his warts. And it is
30 warts on my neck.
Yeah.
And he'd come over, look at him, and go, let's go home, forget about it. Disappeared.
Yep, yeah, he probably some relation to my grandmother. They were the Brighton family, so yeah. So Sumi was an interesting character. He was a barber that was crippled and spent his he was always crippled in his entire life. He had walked with a crutch, and he wrapped his withered leg around that crutch, and he'd stand and cut people's hair and got around the community and stuff on that crutch and stuff. So we also had a lady in our community, Miss Jewel. She was a local she had her hair shop in her home. She's a local beautician, so she knew all the gossip and dirt on everybody. Okay, but Miss Jewel got a fascination with natural healings and herbal things, and so she went to the community collecting, interviewing all the healers and herbalists and people who put together their concoctions and so forth, that was her. That was, and her intent was to write a book, but as she began collecting data for the medicinal part, she also got people's story. She got all the gossip. So she was going to have a history part. She was going to have a medicinal part, but she decided it had to be published after her death because she didn't want people coming after her. And she already had the title for her book. It was Aunt Jewel's Real Jewel. That was the name of the book. She passed away several years ago. I don't know what happened. I'd love to see that manuscript if it still exists, or it probably got thrown out somewhere. But she had handwritten this whole collection of things. And Jenny back there, her grandpa, which we affectionately know as Preacher Burchett, he had a patent medicine that he sold, and it had cured for a lot of different things, and he'd collect different things and put it together. And so sometimes the people went ailing, they went and saw Preacher Burchett, and they felt better in a few days. So that was that's my background. I've taught psychopharmacology in the past. I don't teach it now, but I've taught psychopharmacology in the past. And I do a whole section on herbals, and that was a student's favorite part. They would want to know more. I was particularly looking at the herbal things that you can treat mental disorders with, and they were very fascinated with that. So, and there's quite a few out there with a long history of them as well. And my caveat always with him is just because it's natural doesn't mean it's not effective. Okay, so, and also because it's natural doesn't mean it's safe. So, because some of these things have relatively high toxicity, and always consult your medical, trained medical professional, and not the internet, nor somebody who's not trained in doing that. So, but a few years ago, I was exposed to a book, and I have it. I couldn't put my hands on it to bring here tonight, but it was medicinal healings from the Bible was sort of the preface of it, talking about all the different things mentioned in the Bible that had medicinal properties. So I thought that might be interesting. It's interesting to me, may not be interesting to you. But then when I begin to look at how many of these have direct references to Jesus or has some kind of metaphorical connection to Jesus, there's a lot. You know, a lot of these come up, you know, related to Jesus. And I thought, well, it relates to Jesus and God had to record it. Maybe it's worth our study tonight. So,
my knowledge of organic chemistry wouldn't fill a thimble. Okay. Just have a little bit of
silent here. So my knowledge of organic chemistry wouldn't fill a thimble. It's very, very small. However, I do know a little bit about molecules and chemical bonds and like that. There's only certainly things go together, you know. And you can't make some things go together, no matter how hard you try. And to try to tear things apart has consequences and stuff. So, and then how we're equipped, God made us equipped, and how our receptor sites work in our brain and everything, and how certain molecules will go in, certain molecules won't go in, and how sometimes molecules looking like a molecule will act as excitatory things or inhibitory things, depending upon what the chemical did originally. So I'm in the camp of folks who say there's probably something out there to heal about everything that already occurs. Just the way God created things, you know, and so it was discovered many years ago by observing animals and stuff that they had a propensity or proclivity to certain things, and once some pigs were being observed sort of squealing and had the best time. They were just like happiest pigs ever, and they were eating the dirt and everything else, and so they tried to figure out what was going on. Later discovered what the pigs had discovered as the natural deposit of a naturally occurring salt called lithium. Okay. Lithium it makes you feel pretty good. Okay, it can stabilize things, and so it can be a mood stabilizer. Well, lithium carbonate was eventually advanced and developed to treat people with bipolar disorder to help them just sort of stabilize, you know. And it was observed there was a particular area of Texas that had one of the lowest occurrences of bipolar disorder than anywhere in the geographical United States. Why was that? Well, turn to find out. The local water supply had a high level of lithium salts in it. So maybe anyone had a tendency that way. They were just drinking the water and it wasn't happening. So we have had a lot of history with these things. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, it's very early. And God says, I've given you these herbs for a reason. And it shall be for you for food. The Old King James has a different word there. The Old King James says it'll be our meat. That the ideal was that maybe Adam and Eve were natural vegetarians. In fact, it's not till after the flood that we say that the animals are given permission that, you know, they're your food now too. So we sort of don't know the whole background of that. You know, why did, you know, people say, well, if that's the case, then why did Abel raise sheep, you know? And why did you sacrifice them? We don't know the whole details of that. But you know, God says there's a purpose for this. Now, I've had folks who wanted to abuse naturally occurring things to get high, and they would point Genesis 1:29. So, well, God gave us it. You know, it can't be bad for you because God gave us. No, I don't think God meant for you to roll that and smoke it. You know, I don't think that was God's intent there. So, and then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, we have these bookend things. And so even in heaven, they're talking about this tree for the healing of the nations. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. I think I have an idea. Because, interesting, because the preceding chapter says there's no more death, no more dying, no more suffering, no more tears. But then in the next, next chapter says, okay, but there's a tree for the healing of the nations. You know, and I happen to think that those are the things that divide and separate us as people. That those things are gone in heaven. Those things, with the color of your skin or your identity, it's just gone in heaven. And so that's my perspective on it. So these things are God. Okay, Psalms 104 verse 14 says that God causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man. So God provides for us. You know, one of the ancient Greeks said that, you know, we should let our food be medicine and our medicine be food. The idea that we eat ourselves to health, you know, and being mindful of that. So God designed the earth with healing properties and plants that serve both physical and spiritual nourishment. And so we recognize there is some connection to us, to what God has provided in creation, and is there for our benefit and for our purpose. So this is somewhat, you know, just sort of beginning with some of the ones, aloes. Anyone grew up in a house where you had a burn plant? Okay, so an aloe plant was just a burn plant that you had. If someone got a burn, you put aloe on it. It is a visky, sticky stuff, you know. There are a lot of different types of aloes, from very, very small ones to huge ones. In Israel, when I was there, I was amazed at the size of the aloes. They're huge, and you know, they'd be big. I mean, like this tall, just huge mounds of them and stuff, and they would grow there very easily. I was used to the ones people had in their kitchen windows or whatever, but they're huge there. A friend of mine, she gifted me with a start of aloes that she's had in her family for generations, but they always lived down south, and so they never froze. And so she moved to Tennessee. She brought them with her, and she realized they don't. She said, "Well, they survived." I said, "I don't think so." She said, "Oh, they withered tough," and I said, "They didn't." So, but she fortunately brought some in the house. So I've got a pretty good size one. It's not like the ones I saw in Israel and other places. But aloes have been around for a long time. They've been associated with healing. In the burial of Jesus, Nicodemus, they used aloes to prepare the body of Jesus. They helped to sort of desiccate the body, to dry it out a little bit, and so they can be very helpful. I don't know if you've ever had a sunburn or a hand burn or whatever, and you used aloe. It does have some, you know, soothing properties to it. It feels a lot soothing to the touch. Many years ago, when my mom had radiation treatment, but after she had her neck resection done and stuff from having cancer, it sort of burned her throat, you know, and it's just swallowing and eating was very painful. And so someone suggested that one of the things would help her would be aloe juice. So I went to the health food store and bought a gallon of it, but it's like drinking slime. Okay, it was not very palatable, so we had to water it down a little bit. But she also had to avoid things. She couldn't mix it with certain things because she had to avoid things that were highly acidic too, because that irritated her throat. So it's that big jug of aloe juice lasted a long, long time. But it does have healing properties, and so God designed it that way. Proverbs 7, verse 17, it was considered somewhat of a luxury item. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. And so aloes bloom, and that's what's pretty impressive, especially some of the other ones. I've had some of the smaller ones bloom. They're not very impressive, but some of these big ones are like big stalk blooms on them, just beautiful, you know, different colors and stuff. I never noticed a fragrance to them, but perhaps some of them are fragrance. So aloes had a very, very long history and connotation in scripture, in practical application, and they're not indigenous to Tennessee, so we don't have them here. So anything you have here that's aloe and the aloe family is something that has been brought in here. But there again, all my back as far back I remember, people would have they were called burn plants. You know, they just had them and used it. So anybody have any testimonials on the use of those? So, yeah. Propagation of aloes is interesting. You know, they propagate by pups. So the mother plant will have little bitty miniature aloes that'll pop up around them. And you can take those pups out and then put them in dirt, and you've got your own start aloes. And so years ago, I had a very active aloe plant, and it was always having pups. And so at the end of each term, I would have an aloe ceremony, and I gifted all my graduating students with an aloe plant. And that was one of the biggest rules. You know, we're going to do the aloe ceremony, you know. And that plant eventually gave up the ghost and didn't produce and stuff like that. But I had a former student recently, she says, I still have my aloe plant. She said, it goes back 15 years. Wow, you know, so you're a good steward of it and stuff. So, yeah. So it's an interesting plant. Any questions or comments at this point? So myrrh is a resin. In Matthew chapter 2, 11, they gift him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At the death of Jesus, they mingled myrrh to give him as an analgesic. It does have some pain relieving properties to it. So it's also a good antiseptic. You know, it gets rid of things. It is used in perfumes and anointing oil. A few years ago, there's been more than one Christian bookstore in Cookeville, but a few years ago, there was one on Broad Street in Cookeville, right on the corner over there. And I love that store. I went in there a whole lot. I just love that store. In fact, when it closed, I had to buy some of the fixtures and things they had in the store. But one of the things I was fascinated, they had a whole section of anointing oils. And you could pick whichever thing you wanted in it. And they may even have that vial or part of it that had myrrh in it and stuff. It's sort of it's almost sickening sweet smell to it. But it was very often associated as something being very precious and very important. So myrrh. Frankincense, we referenced earlier. So frankincense was used in temple worship. It was also used as a gift at the time of Jesus. Isaiah 60 verse 6, this is another, I didn't realize Isaiah prophesied the bringing of frankincense many years ago. And gold. So frankincense has anti-inflammatory properties, immune boosting, and used in worship and incense. Some time ago, on a December Sunday night, many years ago, I talked about the three gifts, and I actually brought in some of the frankincense and burnt it, so you can get a little bit of a whiff of it and stuff. So, again, not my favorite scent and stuff, but, you know, think back then about hygiene, body odor, smell. They did a lot to try to cover up the stink. You know, so that's a pretty, so you'd have to have something pretty potent and stuff to do that. So hyssop is one, was one passage we read recently from Psalm 51 verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, then I shall be clean. This is David's plea to God after his sin with Bathsheba. And then in John chapter 19 verse 29, they used a hyssop branch or stick to put a sponge to Jesus' mouth when he said, I thirst. It has its own antiseptic cleaning properties to it. It was used in ritual cleansing and respiratory health, so it has some medicinal properties that way as well. Again, not indigenous to our area, but we have things that act like this in our area that's somewhat similar to it. There's a plant called mullein. It is indigenous to Tennessee. It looks like a hairy leaf, and they come up in a rosette, okay? And usually a biennial plant, they'll come up one year, and then the next year that they'll come back and bloom. They have a really tall stalk. Native Americans would use that tall stalk. They would put pitch on the end of it and use it as a torch. It was like a big candle kind of thing. But the mullein itself can be used. It actually stops blood flow. So if you get a wound and put on it, it'll help stop the bleeding. It'll help stop the bleeding. If you ingest it, it's supposed to be an expectorant. It breaks up mucusy things. Stephen, don't necessarily go out and start giving it to Anna, but It's supposed to be good for respiratory ailments as well. People dry it, make a powder of it, mix it in some hot water and drink it for tea. It has some of the properties that hyssop will, and that it's a purification thing as well. But mullein, there's a lot of ornamental varieties. Any of you ever heard that lamb's ear? It looks like a miniature mullein, and it's the same family. But the natural native mullein, and I've seen people actually now pulling over on the side of the road because they have internet. I'm digging it up, you know. I thought, well, that's,
yeah. I got some.
Yeah, Greg's got some, so yeah. So it has some properties to that effect as well. It's, yeah, the native one here is yellowish and stuff, so it's a interesting thing as well. So, yeah, so it sort of acts a little bit like the hyssop and stuff that we see. So, any questions or comments? Another native plant it's somewhat native, but it naturalizes really quick. So if you don't plant one unless you like it, because you'll never get rid of it, it's really, really hard to kill. And that's the yucca plant. Okay, so the yucca plant, long sword-like leaves, sharp on the end, but they're not very pleasant to come in contact with. And they bloom, and when they bloom, they have a huge spike, and it's full of creamy white flowers. I didn't know until a few years ago that the root of the mullein plant has a high toxicity to fish. And if you take it out, chop it up, put the root in water, it'll kill fish, and it'd be easier catching fish. So it kills the fish, and so you can just eat them. It's not harmful to you. It also is known indigenously in some areas as the soap plant, because you can use the root of the plant as a soap substitute. It has some cleaning properties as well and stuff like that. So to me, you'd have to be pretty desperate to use it that way. So, so that's yucca plant, or sometimes some people call it devil's needle. I've heard people refer to it as that. Shell.
My grandparents called it bear.
What?
Bear.
Bear? Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, tough as a bear and stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, I've discovered there's a lot of different names for the same thing. You know, what we call spider plant, I discovered here they're called Democrats. I don't know what they're called. That was a few years ago. We call them spider plants, Cleome, and then people in this area call them Democrats. I don't know why they're Democrats. So, yeah.
And they're also called airplanes.
Airplanes. Okay. Yeah. I had some growing one time, and I gave some of my plants to Jerry Hastings' mother, and she wanted them. She thought, oh, those are so pretty. I'll bring you some, and something like that. And I brought them to her. She says, I dug them things up. They smell like a skunk. I said, well, they don't have a very pleasant odor. She said, I don't like those. And I said, oh, they do smell somewhat like a skunk. She said, I dug those up. They smell like a skunk. So fig trees, one or two camps. Either you like figs or you don't like figs. And if you like them, you usually really like them. If you don't like them, you really hate them and stuff. So fig trees, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, they were sown together. It's not indigenous to Tennessee, but will grow here with some protection. Certain varieties of them, at least. There's a lot of things, references to figs being used medicinally, like to make a poultice out of it, you know. So, yeah. Does anyone know what pinrit is? Okay, it's medicine used to get rid of pinworms. But there's also, and that same company makes a drawing salve, you know, and it's in a little tin, and you can use that drawing salve. But apparently fig poultices are like a drawing salve. You can make a poultice of it. If you have a boil or something like that, it'll pull the stuff to the surface and help draw it out. So unless you've dealt with that in your family, which we have in my family growing up, we had used stuff like that from time to time. So, of course, figs are good to eat. There's mentions of figs in fig cakes. And you know, thanks of dried figs. Dried figs can last quite a long time. They're portable, lightweight. You can eat them. Highly, you know, highly, they're calorie dense. So they're good, and used that way. There's a in the Old Testament talks about a vision of good figs, a basket of good figs, and a basket of rotten figs. So in 2012, I found something recently to tell me what year it was. Our fig tree had a bumper crop at our house. We had figs coming out our ears. Dylan, that was he talked the other day. He says I eat them every day. You know, Tammy made fig preserves. You know, and I brought a big bowl of figs one night, and that was some people's first exposure to it. It was interesting. You know, and people said, "Well, I like them." So that was part of the promise. You know, that was things that people associate with being good things happening to have a fig tree that bears. Remember, Jesus comes to the fig tree. And it's fully leafed out and doesn't have any figs on it. What does he do? Why does he curse the fig tree?
He was hungry.
Well, what's the significance of why did we get the description because it already had leaves on it?
Because it has leaves, it's supposed to have figs.
Yeah, it has leaves, supposed to have figs. Figs don't bloom like normal plants. So what you see very often is it begins leafing out little miniature, little tiny looking things look like figs. They'll produce more throughout the season, but sometimes you like to see almost before the leaves are fully budded out, you say, well, that looks like it's going to be a fig, you know. And that's where, so Jesus says, if that's got leaves, it should have figs. And so there's something about that, maybe the analogy is for us, if we're professing to be Christians and we're not being fruitful, we're not doing what we're called to do. You know, Jesus used a lot of analogies with fruit, being fruitful, being the vine, being the branch, and stuff like that. So fig trees were sort of this representation thing. It was considered to be a good thing to have figs, in doing that. So, but they have some, apparently some medicinal properties as well. So I don't think that you're going to eat your way to health eating fig Newtons, but a few wouldn't hurt you. So olive oil. Over and over again, and these are just a couple of scriptures, but there's so many references to olive oil, in scripture. Olive oil is made from the pressing of olives. It's really strict how things should be handled. If you're a Jewish person, the first press of the first season was to be dedicated for your tithe. So the first press of the first harvest of the season was dedicated a tithe offering. So you were supposed to set that aside and tie that to God, either the local, later the local synagogue or the temple. So what do you think that they need all this olive oil for?
Lamps.
It was the fuel for the lamps. So I have some old olive oil lamps. I got reproduction olive oil lamps that, the personal size lamps would fit in the palm of your hand. And they'd have some kind of wick in it, and they fill it full of olive oil, and that would be your lamp, but also anointings. The 23rd Psalm, you anoint my head with oil. What was the purpose of anointing sheep's heads with oil? To heal their wounds. So it has some healing properties with that as well. My uncle who lived with us, my Uncle Bill, he suffered from a lot of things. But one of the things he suffered from was psoriasis, psoriatic psoriasis and stuff. And he was exacerbated by his alcohol use and stuff like that. But so one time he went to the VA hospital, and they gave the only thing that ever worked to help heal dry up the psoriasis. It didn't heal it. Let me be really clear, but help dry it up. Olive oil, and I didn't know it existed, white iodine. He'd mix olive oil and white iodine and topically put that on his skin, and it would help dry it up. But I was always used to the kind of iodine that you got hurt, they put it on you, and it stung like fire. But I guess the olive oil was somewhat soothing, but he would do that. So The Good Samaritan pouring olive oil and wine in the wounds of the person who had been beaten. Anti-inflammatory, more recently supported through literature and science. Cardiovascular support, it's a healthy oil. It's not one of those ugly seed oils they're telling us to avoid now. It's a healthy oil and used for anointing and healing. The issue we have with it today is that something that says it's olive oil may not be olive oil. It might be olive oil and other things mixed in with it. Or that it might have been derived from the plant through chemical means. So if you want to looking for olive oil that's good to use, look for one that has the seal that says it's parve, or has a K on it, or has a star on it. There's different symbols because it means it's kosher. So if it's kosher, it means it has to be pure olive oil. It's been processed under the supervision of a rabbi. It can't have any other kind of oil in it, and it's got to be. It can't have chemicals or anything else. And most of the time, they're single source. It has to come from one place. You can't bring a bunch of different things in there. You can't go back and pick up the rotten fruit off the ground and make oil out of it. So parve, kosher, star. Is there one other, Tammy? I'm in this. If you see me, I'm looking for the ones that have those designations on it, because that's the ones that are probably and it's relatively stable. One of the interesting things, then, several years ago, they were excavating a city in Israel, and they were quite fascinated because they found that the huge clay pots, these huge clay, don't really call them jars, these huge clay jars. And pretty soon they discovered what they had. It would pretty much evaporate it for the most part. But olive oil. But they had a Hebrew inscription on it, just a letter. You know, I thought, well, why would someone store all this and not do anything with it? And then they made the connection that Hebrew inscription that had been done in the wet clay meant that this was supposed to have been taken to the temple. It was a tithe olive oil. It was supposed to be the first offerings given to God, and so it just never got transported, you know. And so that's at the temple they required a lot of olive oil to keep the lamps burning and so forth, and for anointing purposes and preparing things. And so it just hadn't got transported. So there was a pretty big cache of that. So we'll stop here. The balm of Gilead, that was another thing that kept on going through my head. And I thought, well, I want to study about the balm of Gilead. So we'll pick up there and talk about that, because it's referenced a few times in Scripture, and we sing a song about it. So.
And it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. I was humming it Monday. So.
Almost every day it gets to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the teams are coming in or not. They're not here yet. Let's give just a minute. Thank you.
6? Want me to announce it? Okay. I'll take whatever help I can get. I need it, brother. The song of invitation is 886. So if y'all don't know that Donnie is an herbalist, and my neighbor is, because yesterday I got stung in the face by a yellow jacket. And I was going over to Donnie's, and he brought out some brute snuff that belonged to his mother. He said, spit on this and put some of that on your face. And I said, Donnie, I'm poached. I can't spit. He said, let me get you some water. I couldn't spit on it. I was like, man. That's probably from whining so bad because this thing hurt. So that's why it was that way. So and it's funny because today I'm going to talk about a hoe a little bit, and we're talking about gardening and stuff. So the devotional today is about living out what you're asking God for. So most of you know me, and you know I have a simple prayer each morning, and it's 12 words. And so for a while now, I've had the same prayer, and it's been every morning. I've shared it with a lot of people. I share it here at this church. I share it at the church I work at. I share it with members of my father-in-law's church. I share it with my pickleball teammates. I share it with Bible study classes here and a couple that I go to out in town. So, and friends and family. My prayer is simple. This prayer could change the world with the help of the Father and the Holy Spirit. My prayer is just 12 words. It has been a life-changing event for me. I see the difference in this church because I've been intentional in living out my prayer. I, with the Holy Spirit working within me, I'm seeing things differently. My prayer goes like this. Lord, help me to be a blessing to everyone I encounter today. And that's what I say every morning. Say, this is my plea to God for assistance in the way I conduct my life every day from the moment I open my eyes. Blessing to my wife is my first opportunity to live out my prayer. If she's sleeping good, I don't want to interrupt her. So I'm really quiet and intentional about trying to leave. She wants to get up and be a blessing to me and make my breakfast and get my lunch and make sure everything's good for when I take off. But I really try not to wake her up because I know that she's sleeping peacefully. That's the first opportunity to be to my blessing to her. I need to live out my prayer. Be intentional. A man named Brad Hilgeman, a friend of mine, a pastor of mine in Kingsville, Texas, led me to Christ and baptized me and my family. He said one of the most prolific things I ever heard in my life. He said, you need to be praying while the sweat is running down the hoe. And for some of you young people that don't know what a hoe is, it's a stick about this big with a piece of metal on the end of it. And when you use it, you do sweat. So I thought he was talking to a person in the church who was always asking for prayer and had his hand out and never did anything to change his circumstance. But I came to realize it. He was talking to me too, you know, at that moment. So if I was praying this prayer each morning, pleading to God for help, to be a blessing to others, that sweat needed to be running down my hoe. I needed to let the Holy Spirit work within me. I needed to have my transistor radio turned on if I was going to hear what God and the Holy Spirit was transmitting. I needed to be intentional in living out what I was asking God to assist me with. Lord, help me to be a blessing to everyone I encounter today. And recently, when I was praying this, I reminded myself that those 12 words, pleading to God for me to bless everyone every day. And then I asked myself, everyone? Every day? Every encounter? What if I don't want to bless everyone? Do I have to bless the man who rudely got in front of the line in at the Food City? You know, do I need to bless him too?
Do I need to bless, can I only bless fellow believers? Can I pick and choose? How about the homeless also? A blessing to people in this world that are difficult and would be easier just to ignore? My plea to God in my prayer was very specific. My prayer says, bless everyone. I don't get to choose. Do I change my prayer and what I'm asking for to make it easier on me to live out what I've asked God assistance with? Bless everyone. That's a big request. Not for God to fulfill Greg, but Greg to perform. God is God. He created trillions of galaxies. Not too big for him, but for Greg, this might be monumentous. Then it came to me, my grandson's go-to Bible verse, Philippians 4:13. It's a lot of people's go-to Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So is this me, or is this Christ in me? How can I do this monumental thing? I can't, not by myself. So with the Holy Spirit and God on my side, this is a piece of cake. I just have to remember His will, not mine. Surrender my life to Him, and I have really good teammates. The Holy Spirit in front, blocking for me, convicting me, encouraging me, makes it easier for me. God is God. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too large for Him. With God and the Holy Spirit, the everyone part of my plea becomes easier. Everyone means everyone. Now, after I open my sleepy eyes, pray to the Lord, get my coffee, be a blessing to my wife, get into my truck, head into this world, and start my day by being intentional about blessings. Blessings to everyone I encounter. Be intentional about your prayers and what you're asking God. Make sure you're living those out. And make sure you're letting those out while sweat's running down the hole. God is with you in spirit. How tough can this be? So we've set a time aside, so if you need prayer or if you need to speak to somebody, we're going to sing a song and give you a chance to come up for invitation.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 833 will be our last song. We'll sing the first verse and after that be dismissed. I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old.
Brother Ray.
Let's bow. Father, as we come together tonight, we thank you for the time together. We've explored the vegetation and the seeds and the ointments that you've given us, but it only reminds us we're not in heaven. We're sick and we're ailing and we're hurting. And Lord, bless us as we walk this trod down here. Keep us healthy and strong. Give us wisdom and discernment. And as Greg has reminded us, every day, every person, may we be an encouragement to them. May we be a blessing to them. To the ones that we love, to the ones we don't know, and even to our enemies. Help us as we walk this path. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.